meeting of April 21st, 2021 to order. Would you all please rise and remove your caps and join me in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Veal?
Here.
Commissioner Fowle?
Present.
Chair Mello?
Here.
Commissioner Hart? Commissioner Hart?
He's got to figure out how to unmute.
Commissioner Hart, can you unmute your phone and let us know that you are in here for your attendance roll call? Commissioner Hart, we're doing roll call. We need for you to unmute.
Okay. We'll proceed. We got a quorum.
Commissioner Lindler is absent today.
Approval of the minutes of March 17, 2021.
I so move.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Aye.
Oh. He's here.
Any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission in any on-agenda item at the time the item is called by the chair, but before the matter is acted upon by the commission. Unscheduled comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Is there anyone here that wants to speak on an item not on the agenda? Seeing none, we will move on. Conflict of interest. Seeing none. All items presented to the Planning Commission during a public hearing become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies of any information presented to the Commission should be given to the clerk of the Commission for distribution to the commissioners. In order to obtain the accurate record of testimony, please address the Commission at the speaking table and clearly introduce yourself with your full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting. A maximum of 5 minutes per speaker will be given so that all interested parties will have an opportunity to address the commission. The public hearing protocol is listed on the agenda at the end of the table. Projects heard at the Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on the weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with the appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or the project or proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to the Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Changes to the agenda. No changes. Under new business, home and use permit categorically UP-20-20, categorically exempt. Staff report, please.
Thank you. Ron and Tassan Holman are requesting use permit approval to allow short-term rental use of an existing single-family dwelling. The property is located at 233 Madison Drive in the community of Mount Shasta. It is an approximately 4.94 acre parcel with an approximately 2,000 square foot, two-story single-family dwelling with an attached garage. The property is within the non-prime agricultural zoning district, which allows short-term rentals upon issuance of a use permit. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for its area. The dwelling has passed inspections by both the building department and the Environmental Health Department. Three bedrooms are proposed as sleeping quarters. Based on the square footage of these bedrooms, up to 10 guests could be accommodated. However, the septic system is designed for a maximum of 6 persons. Therefore, the maximum permitted occupancy is 6. 4 parking spaces are required for this proposed rental. The spaces are in the garage and on the driveway. This project is proposed to be exempt from CEQA per section 15301, as it is an existing facility and there are no unusual circumstances or future activities which might reasonably result in this project having a significant effect on the environment. No public comments have been received. Environmental Health, CAL FIRE, and the Treasurer Tax Collector commented on this project regarding their requirements. Staff recommends determining the project categorically exempt and approving the use permit for this project. There is a suggested motion in the packet.
Thank you. Any comments from the commission at this time?
Not at this time.
At this time, I will open the public hearing. Does anybody wish to speak on this item?
My name is Carol Coho, and I live at 128 Madison Drive. And I would like to comment, can you hear me properly?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for the time. One of my concerns is that with our nice 5-acre lots and somewhat bigger houses, some other vacation rentals in the area have really disturbed our peace, which is what attracted us to the neighborhood. And for instance, just the other night, we were disturbed by gunshots, what we thought were gunshots, at 8:45, and I got a flurry of text messages from neighbors, and we later determined they were fireworks by a renter of a short-term rental just up the hill from us. And we have found this to be quite a common occurrence, I think because we have these larger properties and larger houses, and the owners of these properties are not really being very careful about what is going on in these renters and with the renters. And we had another instance this summer where short-term guests were showing up and they actually did target practice. And it has really affected our peace and quiet. And that is my main concern. Another ancillary concern, possibly, because it's hard to control how big of groups there are. I heard the directions a few minutes ago, and I was a little unclear. I heard occupancy of 6, and then I also heard occupancy of 10, and I was unable to hear exactly what that was. But quite frankly, I'm a little concerned about water, and with our horrible drought situation right now, there have been so many people in the area that have had to go deeper in their wells, and I have to admit that I have a concern if there were consistently larger groups of people that it could affect our own water use. And this is a residential neighborhood. Across the street from us, we have had groups come in school buses. And I think that the owners might feel that they can get away with this because our lots are so private. And so we are having a larger group of people show up than perhaps is permitted in the permit, but there is no way for us to control it. And I think that's the end of my comments. Thank you for listening.
Carol, can you please state your address for the record and spell your last name?
Yes, my address is 128 Madison Drive, and my last name is spelled C-O-H-O.
Thank you. If there are any more comments on this item, please press star 9 to raise your hand. I have a few people with their hands raised. Would the individual who their phone number ends in 2230, please state your name and address for the record, spelling your name.
also need to unmute.
The individual whose phone number ends in 2230, you will need to unmute and state your name and address for the record.
Can you hear me?
I can, thank you. Please state your name and address for the record and spell your last name.
Good morning, Scott Bartle, B-A-R-T-L-E. Address is 133 Madison Drive.
Go ahead.
Okay, so apologizing for joining a little late. We tried to join by a computer and came in through phone eventually. Correct me if I'm wrong, you're looking for comment, positives or negatives with regard to the proposal. Is that correct?
This is use permit 2020. It's the Holman use permit for a proposed vacation rental.
Excellent. Okay. I'd like to express our support. We also do vacation rentals ourselves. We screen every person who comes to our location. We are the on-site managers. We live here. We make sure that every person who's coming is not conducting parties and that it is for personal use and families. So we do want to support that. I would like to comment with regard to water usage. Our lots are zoned agricultural, meaning they're designed for farming. And so I believe farming water use would use a lot more water than a residential showers, that sort of thing. So just wanted to throw that one into the mix. Otherwise, we would like to express our support, and that's all we have.
Thank you for your comment. Would the individual whose phone number is 9090 please unmute and state your name and address for the record?
My name is Leslie Dugan. Can you hear me?
I can. Please spell your last name and state your address for the record.
Last name is D-U-G-A-N. And the address is 330 Madison Drive.
Go ahead. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I've lived on Madison Drive since 1995 when it was first opened up for sale. The CC&R is in our neighborhood states that this development is for residential use only. In our Declaration of Covenants, Conditions and Restrictions, Article 6, Number 1 says no lot shall be used except for residential or agricultural purposes. I spoke with Bernadette in the Planning Department the other day and clarified with her that the vacation rental permit is a business permit. Establishing a vacation rental disregards the CC&R's basic premise, which says that we are residential only. Everyone who bought or built here was given the CC&Rs at closing. Our peace and quiet are highly important to us. That's why we chose 5-acre lots outside the city. And a vacation rental disturbs that by allowing many more people, more traffic, parked cars on the street, potential for large gatherings and parties without the normal concern for their neighbors that homeowners have. There is already a vacation rental on our street that happened a number of years ago when no one understood the implications that a vacation rental would have on our neighborhood. And after it was licensed, the property was foreclosed on. None of us understood the process that the permit would transfer to the next owner. And this happened on the street above us as well in Monroe. A vacation rental was sold to someone else who's not managing it well. And the neighborhood is basically stuck with it because the license has been given by the county. And then there's no going back. And the bottom line is that we don't want our neighborhood doing business. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Would the individual whose phone number ends in 4082 please unmute and state your name and address for the record, spelling your last name? If your phone number ends in 4082, you will need to unmute and state your name and address for the record. So if your phone number ends in 4082, please press star 6 to unmute.
Apparently it's star 6 if you're on the phone or star 9 on the computer.
Oh, finally. It wasn't taking it for some reason.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Technology. So it's Nancy Osteenink, O-O-S. E-N-I-N-K, and I live at what will be 222 Madison Drive, right across from the Holman. I've lived or had this property since 1997. Anyway, same thing as Leslie Dugan said, similar things to Carol. We bought and participate in that community because of the quiet and the low density. And also we all are farmers and gardeners at heart. So it's kind of a quiet village there. The thing that I'm most upset about is that once people get this variance, that it goes with them when they sell their property. And the two other situations that happened with that, they sold right away their properties to people that had no idea about our neighborhood and just took off in their commercial ventures. So it seems like we really have had to give up what we came for in deference to what happened with our honoring that these people needed to do or wanted to do a vacation rental. So my curiosity is, if the CCNR, how do we enforce the, when this happens, how do we enforce the peace and quiet that we've asked for? What do we do when people from out of town love to start bonfires at night in the summer, and we know that's horrible for this area. So, how do we take care of that? How do we take care of the trash that comes out and the bears knock over? And how do we take care of, the extra noise and the street parking? Who do we go to when we have problems? It seems like if this is set up well, we shouldn't have to pass on that from the original people who requested it, and also that we have to have a way to enforce what it is that is the intent of our neighborhood. I think that's it.
Thank you for your comment.
And thank you for listening.
If there are any other comments online, please press star 9 to raise your hand on the Holman Use Permit Project. Seeing none.
At this time, I will close the public hearing and take it back to the commission. By the way, let the record show I visited the property.
Perhaps County Council could share the relationship between CCRs, County Ordinance, Vacation Rentals, and Enforcement.
Good morning, Commissioner Fell and Board. The specific relationship in the County Code is that the Planning Commission can properly consider the Homeowners Association and its wishes in terms of the CCNRs. The CCNRs are not binding on the commission, but they are an allowed consideration in the commission's decision. The homeowners association, if this permit were to be approved, and the homeowners association believed that the permit was nonetheless a violation of the CCNRs, that would be a private action between the HOA and the property owner. But otherwise, the board here is empowered to consider the CCNRs, or I should say more specifically, the homeowners association's wish in terms of granting the permit or not. But it's not binding.
The association has a board of directors, and it would be nice if the board of directors would have a resolution opposing this or allowing it, but that, I guess, didn't happen.
Through the chair?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so just for some context, in regards to how the county views vacation rentals, the county has interpreted vacation rentals to be a residential use. That use is allowed to occur in a single-family dwelling or even a duplex. So while it is understandable that this use has commercial components, it's still considered a residential use, very similar to home occupations. So home occupations do have a commercial component, but the county has interpreted that to be in line with residential uses. So both of those activities, vacation rentals, home occupations, are deemed residential and can occur within residential structures and residential zoning.
Okay. And I'll just follow up Commissioner Beal's comment. We do have a resident speaking, representing what the CCNRs are. It's not apparently an official action of the Homeowners Association to oppose the permit, but nonetheless, there is some testimony there regarding the CCRs and residential use, and Mr. Scarcity has stated that the use of a vacation rental is a residential use as far as the county.
Okay. I've brought this up before in a public hearing dealing with vacation rentals. If you have somebody month to month living in that area and they are not good neighbors, there's nothing you can do about it. With a permit that is being requested here, you have an avenue to complain and file a complaint against that property. The other good thing is that if it's there 3-4 days, they're gone after 3-4 days. If it's a month to month, they're there forever until they either get evicted or leave. I dealt with this at his house across the street from mine. So, if you have an issue with noise and stuff, all you got to do is call the county, call the sheriff's department, and they'll come check it out. Any other commissioner comments?
We had a vacation rental project before us 11, 12 months ago, south McLeod, where there were concerns with discharging of firearms, etc., and I believe we added a condition in that use permit that there be no discharging of firearms when used, because the owner
requested it.
The owner requested it by renters, and I think if there's a concern in this area, I have no problem with adding a condition that renters, not the homeowners, but renters, should not be discharging firearms and using fireworks while renting the property. But I wouldn't mind seeing those two conditions added to this use permit.
I agree with that.
And looking forward, that may end up being something to add to our boilerplate conditions for notice to all renters of vacation rentals. Add fireworks and discharging firearms.
If you're in an incorporated city, it wouldn't be allowed anyway.
That's right. But here, we're just sphere of influence, so. So what be the pleasure of the commission?
If you're going to take a motion, could I then suggest some language?
Absolutely.
Okay. Following up on Commissioner Fowle's comment, I'm trying to quickly scribble out a condition here that we can agree on as part of the motion. My suggested language is those persons occupying the premises under a vacation rental agreement are prohibited from discharging firearms or using fireworks at any time.
Commissioner, I believe Commissioner Hart has a comment that he would like to make.
Okay.
Commissioner Hart, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to revisit this issue about CCNRs. Here 2 months ago, we had this same situation in Lake Shasta, where there was absolutely no vacation rentals allowed anywhere in that subdivision. We had approved those, and none of that came up until this last project 2 months ago. And we turned that project down specifically because vacation rentals were prohibited in Lake Shasta, you know, development. Is that because that was a planned development only, or is that a county policy where you have subdivisions and you have CCNRs that we won't go and permit vacation rentals? I'd just like some clarification on that, please.
Commissioner Hart, this is Bill Carroll, Deputy County Counsel. I do recall that project. I do recall that the HOA itself had officially taken action opposing the rental. They had sent a letter to the occupants saying they were prohibited under the CCNRs. And I believe the president also commented on behalf of the HOA at hearing. So there was a heavier amount of evidence as the HOA being opposed to it, them having taken specific action. Even then, at that prior application, it was not binding on the commission. The commission still could have approved the use permit anyways. But given the official action of the HOA, I believe that was part of the commission's reasons in not approving it. Here it's not quite the same case. So I think that's where we stand.
Well, one difference is that specifically said no vacation rental. This is just all they're saying is no commercial activity. Isn't that the difference?
That is right. Everybody's memory is better than mine. Everybody's on them.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, that was on that Shasta one. It was specific language prohibiting vacation rentals.
Oh, yes.
And there was specific action taken by the group. They formally presented to us both written and orally. In this case, it says residential use. Well, we consider as the county vacation rentals to be residential. So unless there's a formal action, formal letter, we prohibit this.
From the board of directors.
From the board, correct.
You bet. Yeah. Thank you, Counselor. Do you have the language that you want in the motion ready?
I do. I think I read it once, but I'd be glad to.
So hang on. Is the commission ready to make a motion?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want me to?
I move that we adopt the resolution PC 2021-009, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, approving a Holman use permit, UP-20-20, determining the project exempt from CEQA with the addition of the comments by County Council, which he will read into the record.
Okay. And I'll read what I believe I previously read. A condition included in the motion added to the conditions are that those persons occupying or renting the vacation rental are prohibited from discharging firearms or fireworks at any time.
The council, for clarification, you mentioned occupant. Occupant could also be the property owner.
Yes.
Clarify specifically that it would be the...
I thought by saying by doing this pursuant to vacation rental, I mean the owner would be occupant pursuant to vacation rental.
Is it clear that it pertains to the renters only?
I thought it was, but...
Yes. That's staff satisfied with those. Okay.
Chair.
Yes.
We do have a hand raised. It appears to be an individual who has already commented.
No more.
No Thank more you. Comments. Thank you.
Are you satisfied with the motion,
yep.
sir?
Yes.
Okay. I will entertain a second.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 3-0.
I'm sorry, Commissioner, can you repeat what you said?
My vote is no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Motion carries 3-1.
We're going to old business next.
Nope, new business. We got number two on new business. Bullington use permit UP-21-01. Staff report.
Thank you. This is the Bullington vacation rental use permit project. Walter and Michelle Bullington are requesting use permit approval to allow short-term rental use of their existing single-family dwelling. The property is located at 701 Hennessy Way in the community of McLeod. It's an approximately 0.16 acre property that's developed with an approximately 1,490 square foot two-story single family dwelling. The property is within the single family residential zoning district, which allows short-term rentals upon issuance of a use permit. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for its area. The property will be required to be managed by a Siskiyou County company or individual. Inspection by both building and environmental health were passed for this property. The two bedrooms in this dwelling can accommodate a maximum of 8 individuals. 3 parking spaces required for this property are available in the carport, driveway, and supplemental gravel parking area adjacent to the driveway. This property is not within the jurisdiction of a property owners association at this time. This project is proposed to be exempt from CEQA per section 15301 as it is an existing facility and there are no unusual circumstances or future activities which might reasonably result in this project having a significant effect on the environment. One public comment was included in the staff report from a neighbor who opposed the project. Subsequent to the staff report being written, the Bullingtons responded to the comment. Additionally, the property owner behind the Bullingtons' property submitted a comment in favor of the project. The comments received after the staff report were written were provided to you prior to this meeting. Environmental Health, CAL FIRE Public Works, and the Treasurer Tax Collector Department commented on this project regarding their requirements, which have been included as conditions of approval. Staff recommends determining the project categorically exempt and approving the use permit for this project, and there's a suggested motion in the packet.
Thank you. Any questions for staff or from the commission at this time? I will open the public hearing. Does anybody wish to comment on this item?
Please press star 9 if you are calling into this meeting and would like to comment on this item. It's the Bullington Vacation Rental Project in the McLeod area. Seeing none.
Thank you. At this time, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission.
Recommend we add the same conditions as previous project to this one.
And and I'd be happy to read that condition again. Put through where I scribbled down. I believe the condition was that any renter or occupant occupying the property pursuant to the proposed permit, strike that, pursuant to the vacation rental permit, are prohibited from discharging fireworks, from discharging firearms, or using fireworks at any time. Did you get that, man?
Yes, thank you.
Hey, Council, just for clarification on the occupant part, I think there's still some confusion there that maybe better addressed.
I don't know what the, I mean, it says occupant occupied pursuant to the vacation rental permit.
Can we not just use the term renter?
Sure. If that would
renter
satisfy,
or client?
I'm just trying to cover it. Cover everything. I mean, thinking like a lawyer, renter strictly, there may be a guest there of the renter.
Yeah. Well, if it's a guest who's not paying, then it's entirely the owner's responsibility. Granted, it is with a renter too for the facilities, but a paying customer, that's where that restriction should be placed.
Right.
The restriction is not on the property owner.
Right. And when I meant guest of the renter. Someone may rent, two people may rent a property and then invite a third or fourth person over to visit.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
I believe the language is pursuant to the vacation rental permit. And the property owner would not be occupying it. An invitee of the property owner would not be occupying it pursuant to the vacation rental permit.
Okay.
To me, that's the key language.
Yes.
So going back to the project that was south of McLeod on Circle 7 that had that restriction, I believe the language that we used is while the property was being occupied as a vacation rental or being utilized as a vacation rental. I think that was closer to the language that we used for that particular project.
Which is fine. The point needs to be made clear. It needs to be enforceable, but yet not be undue restriction on the business owner, property owner.
Property.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what language we previously used as I tried to draft something in a split second here. I mean, that sounds very, very good too, and it's the board's preference. We could say, what was the introductory clause again?
Being utilized or occupied as a vacation rental.
Being utilized or occupied as a vacation rental. The discharge of firearms or use of fireworks is prohibited at all times.
Comfortable with that, Mr. Fowler?
No.
Yes, that's fine. It's probably better than what I just suggested a minute ago.
Yeah, I think the verbiage is very clear. Okay. I will entertain a motion.
Hang on. So, this vacation rental, it looks to be via previous maps within about a quarter mile of one we did about 17 months ago, where we had a specific condition for bear-proof garbage receptacles. That was a concern that came up in this area. And I believe if we added it at that time to condition 12, because the concern was that the garbage cans, even though being removed, etc., proper, it was something to do. That concern wasn't brought up in this one, but I notice it's very close to the one where we added that language.
I'm sorry, I don't recall which one you're speaking of, so I can't speak
to that. Was one street over and half a block up to the northeast of this one.
You get too good of it.
From what I recall, is that there was a discussion related to the bear boxes and possible impacts from solid waste. I cannot recall if a condition was added, but staff can look into that and come back.
Okay. Just in case, because it was a heavy discussion item, bears and trash, when we had that one right near where this one is, and just bringing it up. Maybe these neighbors don't have bears. Maybe they stay a block over.
Maybe they found a new source of food.
If it's not a concern, fine, but I
think
it was a yellow flag for me when I saw the location and vicinity.
I recall that, but I don't recall that we made a specific thing for, because to get lockable, you know, garbage, those things are expensive. Yeah, but anyway. Okay, so.
Just sharing my yellow flag. Check with Commissioner Hart.
Yep.
Commissioner Hart, did you have any comments?
No, I have a comment.
What be the pleasure of the commission?
Good deal.
I already moved past the
okay,
motion,
I move that we adopt the resolution PC 2021-008, a resolution of the Planning Commission, the County of Siskiyou, the State of California, approving the Burlington Use Permit, UP 21-01, determining the project exempt from CEQA, together with the language of the previous commission regarding firearms and fireworks.
I will second that.
Any further comments? I will entertain them. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Opposed? Motion carries.
Through the chair.
Yes, sir.
Before we move into old business, we're in new business, can we formally request that staff come up with consistent language regarding discharging of firearms and use of fireworks to be added to the boilerplate on the conditions for vacation rentals? So we don't forget about that.
I agree.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, staff will include that as we move forward.
Next item on the agenda is the Burger Zone Chain C-20-02. Staff report.
Thank you. As you had mentioned before, this is an old business item. It was previously heard during the November 2020 Planning Commission meeting. To recap this project, Marilyn Burger is requesting approval of a minor zone change from non-prime agricultural 40 acre minimum parcel size to non-prime agricultural, which has a 10 acre minimum parcel size by default, in order to facilitate a tentative parcel map project to split her existing 39.4 acre parcel into two parcels of 22.4 and 17 acres. The subject parcel is located approximately 1 mile west of the city of Weed on Old Edgewood Weed Road. During the November meeting, the project was continued to allow staff to research and respond to concerns related to CEQA baseline, civil litigation, and project density, in addition to obtaining comments from the California Regional Water Quality Control Board and Department of Fish and Wildlife. Staff gave a presentation during the December 2020 Planning Commission meeting to address CEQA baseline concerns. A request for comment was submitted to the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the California Department of Water Resources. Only Fish and Wildlife responded, and they provided a comment that simply reiterated their original comment. Staff researched civil litigation associated with the subject parcel. All litigation that was found was directly related to an existing road easement that is north of Old Edgewood Weed Road and roughly parallel to Mrs. Berger's eastern property line. Concerns related to the existing 40-acre minimum parcel size zoning designation were researched. Staff was able to determine that the subject property is incorrectly identified as being within national forest land on topographic maps, and that state and federal properties have historically been designated with 40-acre minimum parcel size through the combining district. Agricultural properties east and south of the incorrectly mapped land were not given that same 40-acre minimum parcel size designation, and staff has determined that the application of the B40 district was likely an error, and that had it not been identified as being within the Forest Service land, it would not have been assigned the 40-acre size restriction. This project is proposed to be exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15061B3, the common sense exemption, because there are no unusual circumstances or future activities which might reasonably result in this project having a significant effect on the environment. Staff recommends conditionally approving the tentative parcel map portion of this project and recommending that the Board of Supervisors determine the project categorically exempt and approve the zone change for this project. There's a suggested motion in the packet.
Any questions of staff at this time?
So, procedural question. This project we closed the public comment. We took it to the Planning Commission. Commissioners had additional questions for staff to investigate. Staff has done the investigation, made the phone call, sent the emails, has reported back to us, and we are taking place now as we were back in November. This is amongst the commission. No further public comment. Am I correct, Councilor?
Well, first of all, I note that I think at this point, I do see that I believe this was re-noticed for public hearing.
That's why I asked the question.
Mr. Skirsky is reminding me that the hearing itself was continued to a time and date uncertain, and that it therefore was not closed. Is that your recollection, Mr. Skirsky?
Go ahead. Right. So during the first hearing, the public hearing was opened. We took in public comment, and the public hearing was closed. We had deliberation, which resulted in continuation of the hearing. So. Yes, in theory, the public hearing is closed, in which commission can go into deliberation and action. With that being said, for any project we have that is continued, staff would generally recommend that the chair open the public hearing to allow for public comment for those who traveled here today for the item. It is up to the decision of the commission.
Let me add quickly. Regardless of the public hearing or not, it actually has a Brown Act requirement that it's on the agenda. There is an allowance for public comment, though it's not officially under public hearing. The fact that it is on the agenda, at least under the Brown Act, opens up for public comment, whether or not it's under the rubric of public hearing or not. Now, the public hearing portion of it has more strenuous noticing requirements, including notifying nearby property owners that regular Brown Act public comment agenda item does not. So to the extent that the Brown Act requires that the board allow a comment on an item, I'd probably say in just being conservative is to go ahead and see public comment.
At this time, I will open the public hearing. I have one request here from Mr. Butcher. Please come to the mic. Four minutes, Mr. Butcher.
Thank you. Do I need to even let you know my name and everything?
Yes, please.
This particular piece of property, the issues that were in question...
Mr. Butcher, you need to state your name and address, sir, please.
My name is Fred Butcher, B-U-T-C-H-E-R, 27504 Edgewood Road, Weed, California, 96194. You know, the concerns were the growth impact and the property at the present time, and the other thing that wasn't addressed here was the mine and the mine that's on the property. That mine is still on the property, and I would suggest that we do an environmental impact study on that to see if it's going to further cause problems for water quality and resources on that. The property at this time is still in an animal preserve with the state of California. It butts up next to the National Forest, only divided by the railroad tracks. So I can see where the Forest Service probably was right on putting that in there. At the time that the permits were issued with a use permit, Bill Castro was stated that he would keep that in a 40-acre minimum parcel. The other thing is I've been told that this piece of particular property that wants to be subdivided and is being pushed through is because it's been sold and there's a lien on the property. As far as damages, that piece of property is still under litigation for erosion that's on that side of it that was caused this year. Darren Mercier is handling it. The liens are on the property for other issues on an easement, which the easement does not impact this specific piece of property. So the reason that it's non-conforming and it was pushed before this planning commission, it was a 42.7 acres, but on 2-1 of 2005, this particular piece of property was subdivided to that lower 1-acre parcel to increase that size, which made it a non-conforming piece of property. The planning commission back on that date stated that if it had no impact to making it an irregular size, that they had no problem with it, and I had no problem with it. It comes back after being surveyed, and it's an irregular size. So my issue is still the same as an adjacent property owner. I would much rather continue my battle with the person I'm battling instead of picking two more enemies and going into litigation. Underneath this, whenever I can see where the county, and I guess it's a double standard here, that if a lien is on a piece of property with the county, you cannot subdivide it if it's for taxes or anything else, but a private person needs to go back, go to their attorney, and pay more money to try and get the damages and what's due them. I think it's a lien is a lien. And if citizens don't have a way to go in and recoup theirs, then they have to fight the new owner. I think that I wouldn't be opposed to this if we were doing an environmental impact study on it and looking at the mine and mine issues, but it's been completely not even put into this. The Forest Service hasn't been put into this. I don't think the county and planning commission has done their due diligence in the past research on this. I don't have anything else to say. And thank you for your time.
Anybody else wish to speak on this item for or against?
If you're calling into this meeting and you would like to speak on
Mrs. Berger wants to speak.
Oh. On this project, please press star 9 to raise your hand. Okay, so if you have a comment, you have to make a comment.
Even when you,
I don't recall what you're talking about, I'm sorry.
Rachel, did you have anybody raise their hand yet?
No.
No, okay.
My
yes,
name
ma'am.
Is Marilyn Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R, and I'm the owner of the property.
Did you take your mask down, please? I could hear you, can't hear you very
well. It's hard to understand, yeah.
Thank you.
The property has a county road going through the center of it. So the
portion where Bulls Creek is and where I had a building permit to build a home, a second home, and I'd have my residence up above with solar panels. So a road was put in, a well was put in for that building permit, and then the contractor doubled his price. So I can't build my summer home down there because it's close to Bulls Creek. There is not a mine on the property. I had sent an email to Rachel. It is not a M-I-N-E. It is a former slaughterhouse. There's just the remnants of a slaughterhouse that El Castro had. I confirmed that with the president of the Weed Museum and a 91-year-old board member. Again, I had sent an email to Rachel on that for her information. So there is no mine. And the last comment before was that I had 100 cattle on the property. No. And I had a natural wildlife habitat certification, which I had posted, but somebody took the sign. So I thought this would be a simple matter with the county road dividing my one big parcel in half naturally to then have another APN number. I don't want to go into my personal reasons any further than that, because it's pretty simple. Also, that the water, I think Mr. Fowl had concern about so many people subdividing it or something if it went to another owner. But the building permit could only be at one site because the water is 3 feet underground as you go further west. So that's why the septic would have had to been pumped uphill. And I had sent Rachel pictures of that with the inspectors where they had marked where the septic, if a home were to be built there, would have to be run up and run parallel to the upper ground because there's too much, I don't know what you call that type of, and the water is like 3 foot below ground level, but it's not sturdy enough to have a house on. It's very beautiful down there, but it's not a place for subdivision.
Pump the sewerage up to the, across the road to the other parcel?
No, no. It's flat.
Okay.
And then it drops down, uh-huh. And then it goes flat again.
Okay, but it's on the parcel below the road.
Right, which is the one that.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it goes.
Gotcha.
About 70% straight up to the railroad track. And then private property, and then a small parcel of forest land. I just wanted to clarify that so that you have more of a visual picture. Thank you.
Thank you.
I visited the property before the first time.
You visited it?
Yes.
Oh, good. Did you climb the fence?
No, just on the road.
Oh, okay. I would have let you in.
Anybody else on the phone there?
No, I'm seeing no hands raised.
Anybody else wish to speak? At this time, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Hart, would you like to make the motion?
No. Questions, comments.
Oh, I just asked if the commission had comments. See, does he throw his hand up?
I do not see Commissioner Hart with a hand raised.
I have no comments.
Okay.
Understand the situation Mr. Butcher's in with the legal issues. But whether or not it changes ownership, his issue is with the current individual, whether they continue to own the property or not. That legal matters between you and another individual and doesn't pertain to us. Understand your thinking, your concerns and issues, but the project before us, whether we approve or deny, wouldn't have bearing on that. Correct, counsel?
Yeah, that's correct. Usually when a judgment lien is obtained, the judgment is recorded in the recorder's office and applies to the person and whatever assets they own within the county. To the extent, so my understanding, you know, I don't know if there's some specific lien out there specific to the exact property, but generally that's not the way it works. Sometimes there is, and I may digress a little bit, for instance, if a county were to do a cleanup on a property and assess the costs, they can record a lien on the property specifically, and it's only to that property. But generally, when you have a general civil judgment, you record the judgment in the recorder's office and applies to anything the person owns in the county. Secondly, in terms of us, our specific proceedings, I'm not aware of anything that gives the Planning Commission any consideration for liens on the property in granting or denying a subdivision. And generally, as I advised the first time around, it's really not in the Planning Commission's area of consideration.
The first time this appeared, there was instructions sent out to satisfy those concerns, correct?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
The first time this appeared before us, there were instructions to satisfy those concerns. I think one was water quality, right?
There were some conditions placed on this particular piece of property where there is a setback from Bowles Creek, and there is also the applicant did a noise study prior to submitting an application, so any construction that might occur within a certain distance of the railroad tracks would have to do a noise analysis prior to construction and have it be within a certain decibel rating.
I guess my question was, did you satisfy all the concerns that were presented to you at the last meeting?
So are you asking if I address all of the concerns?
Yes.
I read through the transcript and I wrote down all of them and I tried to do my best. If
yeah.
I missed something, then
no,
I
know,
apologize.
But it's, yeah. My point is to send you out there to take care of those concerns.
Yes.
If you have done that, I think that's our obligation now,
okay,
is to improve it. I mean, we can't keep chasing new concerns every time it reappears.
And so, just to clarify, this is a zone change and a tentative parcel map project. So the CEQA, you are issuing a recommendation regarding the CEQA and the zone change and only either conditionally approving or not approving the tentative parcel map. So this will be going to the Board of Supervisors should you approve it.
Yes, so we're going non-prime AG2
I will entertain a motion.
So Commissioner Hart still doesn't have any comments. I don't want to step on his toes. It's tough when someone's on the phone.
Commissioner Hart, did you have any additional comments for this project?
Not specifically this project, but in general, in response and request to agencies, when you prepare the initial study and send it to the State Clearinghouse and it goes out to agencies and comment does or doesn't come back, I would like to explore at the next meeting under open line the possibility of adding a policy where we can have local staff, local planning staff, send out this application to the local CDFW staff here in Puerto Rico who have local knowledge and they're right here that can respond to this stuff. Instead of it, I don't know if it's going to Reading, but it seems it goes to Reading and then it goes into a black hole when Mr. Fowle and myself have pretty close contact with the local CDFW staff and talk to them about projects, and they are not made aware of the stuff that comes before the Reading office. And so I would like to see an addition of local staff here being notified about projects that they may have some local input about that never gets into these projects. That's all I have.
Yeah, I'd concur with that. And I think one of the conversations I had with Janae and Joe Croteau a month or so ago, both CDFW, and I was asking them, I was curious why CDFW hadn't responded to a project. They didn't even know about it. But Reading doesn't communicate back up here. And so I would reiterate what Commissioner Hart said, that when we're sending these projects, at the time we send it to the clearinghouse for the agencies, send a copy to our local CDFW, local U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, local CAL FIRE, our local offices, because I think whether I've been seeing it more and more over the last year, perhaps it's due to COVID, or that's what it's getting blamed on, but communication's not coming back to this county once it hits Sacramento. And people south of here don't give a damn about us anyway, so why should they? So let's at least get it in the hands of those who know here locally. But I would reiterate what Commissioner Hart said. Oh, with that, I'll go ahead and make the motion. So I move that we adopt resolution PC2021-010, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, conditionally approving the Berger Vesting tentative parcel map, TPM20-02, and recommend that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors determine the project exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act and approve the Berger Minor Zone Change Z20-02 by adopting the draft ordinance rezoning 39.4 acres, APN 021-121-560, from AG2B40 to AG2.
I'll second.
And it's roll call. We have a motion and a second.
And it's roll call.
Roll call, yeah.
Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowle?
Yes.
Chair Mello?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0. We're going to take a 5-minute break. We will reconvene at 10:15.
I'm going to put everybody who is calling in the waiting room. We will readmit you once the break is over. Thank you.